Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
It is hour number two of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. It is a Champions League Wednesday. PSG and Man City at the half. And it's the Frenchies with a 1-0 lead. It was
Which one's that? Who's the French one?
That's PSG, Paris Saint-Germain.
Okay, thank you.
Against Man City, which I believe is Basic's team. Yesterday, we were thrilled at this time to be talking about a Christian Pulisic tally as Chelsea tied with Real Madrid. He became the first American to score in a Champions League semifinal. But I know what you want. You want that American tackle football. So we'll be covering a lot of that throughout today and the NFL draft, which is tomorrow. We absolutely cannot wait. Our Path to the Draft coverage is brought to you by Pluckers. Let's rock, though. We got some around the NBA hit stuff here for you. You see what the Nets did last night? They clinched. They're first place in the East. They've only played seven games together with their big three. It just feels like as we're coming down here towards the end, they're the clear favorite. Maybe one of these LA teams gets it together, or Utah's going to start sweeping and kicking butt, taking names once we get into the playoffs. But yeah, the Nets clinched a playoff berth last night after beating the Raptors 116-103. The first Eastern team to confirm a spot in the NBA's postseason. The Nets could slip no lower than six in the Eastern Conference standings. They don't need any more help. I mean, they have.
They don't care where they're seated, and they're going to be one.
Yeah, you know, it's ridiculous. Now that we see all of those parts coming together, see how good they are, even with one of them missing most of the games. And I think the only thing when it was put together that we thought could trip them up is chemistry. But once you get into the postseason and the playoffs are rolling, if you don't have bad chemistry, it's not going to pop up, especially for a team that just got put together. You know, yes.
Well, we can hope, though, you know?
We can hope. We could, yes.
They've been doing this with only two of the three. Once the third one's in there, maybe Harden's dribbling down there and he scored 27, and KD's only got eight, and so KD's trying to steal the ball from Harden, and then Kyrie's running the trap.
But even if they do just isolate, like, screw you, I'm taking it, you're getting a great look.
Yeah.
They could all hate each other and just get great looks, just take turns. I don't know. I don't know how they're tripped up right now, Brian.
Well, I'll tell you where, to me, they added a guy like Blake Griffin.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, if you ever seen, and not that we were watching the Pistons play a bunch, but he was struggling with injury. He wasn't the same guy. And all of a sudden, he shows up. I think he's averaging like 9-10 points a game. Had 17 last night for him. See, that's the kind of move. All of a sudden, a guy goes from being in a situation where he's dragging his bag through an airport and thinking, okay, I got to go another trip or not win any games. And then he goes to Brooklyn, and all of a sudden, it's like, okay, I could be a part of something pretty good here. I can get that ring and all that. And that's all it takes. You know, you get a guy like that who plays 20, like, Blake Griffin, 22 minutes last night, 17 points.
DeAndre Jordan, Jeff Green.
Yeah.
You know, when the Mavs have guys like that, you know, and for the Warriors, it was Andrew Bogut and Andre Iguodala. When you have veterans that used to be like the best player on teams when they were in their prime, now you have the kind of role players that can really give you an edge when the other team's reserves come on the floor.
Yeah, I think my only hopes in the East are like the Celtics have fallen apart.
They got beat last night by OKC. OKC had lost like 19 straight games or something like that. Something crazy.
I saw the interview with Jaylen Brown after the game, and I didn't have the audio turned on, but that dude just looked so defeated. So the Celtics are dead in the water. Your only hope is like Milwaukee's on a heater right now. They beat Philly twice in a row. But Philly, when they play well, maybe. But even those teams, you're like, all right, you have your one real-life superstar. You've got each of them probably has, what, another all-star-ish player. And it's like, but here's basically three league MVPs. Yeah. So what you going to do about it?
It might be better than the Warriors. You know, like the run they've gone on since early in the year when they were struggling and they were barely 500. You know, they flipped this switch here. It seems like everybody on the team is hungry. They want to be that team that's next, right? And put together a Golden State or Miami type of situation. I think they're going to block LeBron. I wonder if LeBron's done winning championships with this Nets team until it runs its course or another injury happens. But they're so good. Even if Kyrie did take his normal 50-game missing injury, right, which he does every other year, they might still win the championship with those two and their role players.
Well, what if the Nets lose in the conference finals 4-3 in a series they should have won? Maybe KD would go to the Lakers.
There you go.
Right?
Yeah.
He would just leave and be like, this is too tough. I can't do this.
Always possible.
I asked you guys this question about Nash. Could Nash be the difference of them not winning the championship? Could a first-year head coach, like them trying to get out of the East, going against Doc Rivers in Philly, could experience of a seven games or the players just so much better than the coaches and what they can do?
You can't underestimate a rookie coach's ability to screw things up. You know that, right? Yeah.
No, the only thing that I think could hold Brooklyn back, because they've proven they could play without their players and be just fine.
Yeah.
I do worry about, though, if they have to go head-to-head. And if Boston was a team, you know, with Boston, with their coaching situation, all that, you kind of would say, oh, well, you know, that's a well-coached organization. But I wonder if Doc Rivers is going to be the difference if they get to a head-to-head series with the 76ers and Brooklyn having to play.
76ers have enough talent. You know, the Bucks, that wouldn't be a huge surprise if they knock off the Nets. We'll have to see. You know, I think for Steve Nash, it's more about keeping things just cool.
Yeah, there you go.
And, you know, communication, culture. And it seems like Nash is really laid back. Like, as a team leader, it was really hard to create a negative vibe around Steve Nash.
This might be our 2020s or our 2000s version of what you had in Chicago with Phil Jackson then, right? A very calm, very reflective, you know,
patient. A little bit of what was the drugs that he liked? Peyote?
Peyote.
Yeah. Peyote.
I know, maybe with that type of demeanor, you need that for your players. You don't need to be on their rear all the time, and I don't think that's, you know.
At least with a championship team.
Yeah.
You know, if you're trying to take the New York Knicks and be a second-round playoff team, you might want that kind of coach.
Oh, they got one right now. That guy.
Okay, LeBron James news. You see this? An Upper Deck exquisite collection. RPA. That's a rookie patch autograph.
What?
You got a rookie patch of LeBron's jersey plus his autograph on a 2003 Upper Deck Rook.
Okay.
It just sold to a private collector for $5.2 million. For a basketball card.
So this is what I think of when I hear those amounts. And I think Bassick and Hagee were talking about this. If you spent $5.2 million on a basketball card, what is your minimum net worth? Like, how much money do you have? Because if you have $100 million, I don't think you're spending $5 on a basketball card.
No.
$400, $500? Is it definitely a billionaire?
No. If you've got $100 million, because you spend $5 million on a car. You would spend $5 million on a car.
At
$100 million, you would.
Is it an investment? Like, it's not something you're just buying just to have. It's an investment.
Yeah, you probably think it's going up. I'd be awful worried that there is a bubble and I might lose a couple of mil. So, to Jeff's point, I think I would have to be holding at least $400 million to spend $5 on a rookie card.
Yeah.
I mean, because there's going to be tons of things that you think are awesome. You can't get in the habit of spending $5 million on things you think are awesome.
You have to be a billionaire. You have to be a billionaire. I think a billionaire bought it, right?
For $2.5 million,
and then it went up. Yeah, I think a billionaire bought it first.
Because I try to think of it in normal people terms.
Yeah.
Like, if it's 5.2 and the person who bought it has $100 million, all right, bring that down to $100,000. If you have $100,000 to your name, are you spending over $5,000 on a basketball card? Hell no.
No.
I'll tell you, if it's a great investment. I'll tell you how stupid I am. I have $100 million. I'm going to have my own damn race team. You know, I'm going to spend $20 million a year on a race team, believe it or not.
Start off really hot and have something probably stupid happen.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. I got to get sponsors and all that stuff. But yeah, I think to me, if $5 million for a guy with $100 million, that's stuff that you would spend on a car or a house or something like that, wouldn't you?
You would know with the social circle you're rolling around.
Sure I do. $5 million on one car?
On one car.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I would get, I would do $1 million on one car, like a Bugatti or something like that, crazy if I had dumb type amount of money, but not $5 million on a car.
I've heard some stories about.
Wow. What is it? Batman's first car or something? I tell you,
there's some Ferraris and stuff like that that are like the only like three made, six made, okay. That kind of thing.
The actual DeLorean from Back to the Future. Yeah. Yeah. Like, if I had all the money in the world, I really think I would drive a hybrid, but I would have a pickup truck in case I needed to go get something.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I would
load
do.
Load of bark dust or something.
Yeah. I'd have a
C71, big junk.
Yeah, I'd snag a 99 F-150. Yeah. I'd slap that thing in the backyard for when I needed to move a couch.
I hear you. Like, the car thing, it doesn't, because I would just, like, not get it washed. You know, there'd be fast food bags on the floorboards.
Yep, yep.
It's like Rob Ryan approach.
Old school Bronco then.
Hey, I love that. Oh, that is cool. Yeah,
it looks like that. Yeah, you know what I mean?
I've seen one driving around in Rowlett coming in and out of that park beautiful over thing. There. Yeah. And he's got it retroed out where it's like built up now, but he bought an old one and just totally restored it. I'm so jealous of that thing.
I'd have a Ferrari with mud in the floorboard, Whataburger straws all around my feet. And it's just like, this is not, guys, we don't need to do this.
So the price broke the $4.6 million record for the Panini National Luca card, the Logo Man RPA. The 5.2 price ties Mickey Mantle's for the most expensive in history. Jesse Craig, director of business development, said there are more expensive James cards out there should collectors decide to sell. So this is not the top. There are LeBron James cards, I would say, worth over $10 million. And let's be clear, there are three Mantle PSA 10s. Whenever they transact, will break every record there is. But as a market, there are so many desirable cards that haven't sold yet publicly. Wow.
I just, it seems, I don't know, it's just a weird world to me. It's a weird world.
Cards?
Yeah, it says the guy who's doing it digitally now. Like,
okay, here's the disappointing part about the cards. What if you had a whole bunch of cards, you met the person that you have the cards of, you get them autographed, but nobody's seen you get the autograph. It's just you and that guy.
Wow. Selfie.
Now you take them back somewhere and you can't.
Selfie.
You can't sell. Yeah.
You're like, this is obviously fake.
Yeah.
Try to get it authenticated. Besides, you scuffed the corner over there, so now it's only an 8.5 out of 10. Yep. And then, to me, like, how it's skyrocketed and gone up and down so many times in my life, I feel like in order to really take advantage of a market like this, you would have to be studying it nonstop and have, like, an entry point and an exit and all that planned out. This isn't just, like, collecting cards for fun. This is taking advantage of a very volatile market that's going straight up right now. But you better have an exit strategy or you're going to be sitting there going like, man.
And you got to tell your friends, right? Yeah. Like, hey, I bought the most expensive card ever. And they're like, can we see it? And you're like, no, it's in the safe, idiot. Yeah. You can't see it.
Do you think LeBron has his most expensive card?
No, he doesn't buy it from that guy.
Do you think he has it in his ownership? Like somewhere along the way, they gave him a card. Like for
I bet he has a lot
like,
of
like
them.
They say if LeBron put a $10 million card out there, or no, if somebody put it out there, maybe LeBron is holding one of his most expensive card.
I would want to. Yeah. I don't know.
I'd sell it.
Yeah. I don't know how that. I haven't heard much about that. Players holding their own memorabilia.
That's what I'm saying, though. If he, as like for, hey, we put it out as a series. There's three of it, and here's the one. Here's the first one. He's got it, maybe.
I think the player should start asking for that in their deals, if they're going to appreciate like this. Unbelievable. $10 million for a card. I remember growing up and talking about like the Honus Wagners and stuff, and they'd be in the tens of thousands of dollars. Speaking of LeBron, he's coming out with his second children's book called We Are Family this summer. It's described as
a great song.
Middle
Sister Sledge.
Okay, yes, a middle grade novel about five new friends who have different dreams but work together to save their basketball season. There, you got a cool basketball book coming up from LeBron to read to your kids or something, or maybe they'll read to themselves. And something really scary is coming up on the Mavericks schedule, guys. Have you seen this?
What do we got? We've got easy games, right?
It's a bad basketball team, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that is a problem, isn't it?
Some of the most terrifying and horrifying incidents this year are when you feel like, oh, okay, we should be able to get this win, and they play down to their competition. So I don't know what to expect tomorrow night. Massive swings for the team right now. I think the most disappointing thing right now is the team should be hungry. You feel like you have a good coach. And now going into this, you can't bask in the glory of that 28-0 run to blow out the Warriors. You can enjoy that for a little bit. But the thing is, with teams that are trying to figure out what it is, sometimes they get so frustrated and they go out there and everything's working great, and then they want to relax. You got to get back and focus and grind. And then a month later, you can be like, hey, look at this. We put together a month of good basketball. But if you turn around and lose, then this win against Golden State doesn't mean anything. And you could find yourself slipping back into a play-in and then have this season that's been so key for taking the next step turn into an overall negative.
And it's kind of what they do, you know? Today, in your Maverick brain and Maverick heart, like last night's game was over so quickly that it was like, man, that was awesome. Sweet. Luka dominates. Beat a team that, and Golden State last night, they needed that game. That was huge for them. And to play the way they did has got to be incredibly disappointing. And so now when you're watching the Mavericks, you're like, yeah, that's them. You know, that's them. And until they play the next bad team and you're like, wait, is that them? It's just, they're such a roller coaster.
They're behaving and playing so much like an average basketball team, you know? And maybe that's all they are.
Maybe that is what they are. That's all the hope that I had for him. And I still think, like, yeah, the playoffs, yeah. But I had with all the things they were talking about defensively and things like that and getting tougher,
yeah,
it really is not.
They tried to make it better, and they ended up kind of making it worse a little bit. You know, Seth Curry and Ryan Brokoff no longer here. You can't be as brilliant offensively. But it's incredibly frustrating. I think what ended up happening is Luka had taken the league by storm. Teams didn't know how to defend him. And you had role players that perfectly complemented, and they were riding that energy and the excitement of last year. And, oh, my gosh, we're good. And they had momentum, right? But as soon as the expectations and the next year and the disappointment all started to come around, it's like, oh, man, we're not going to be that good, you know? And now you're like, okay, we really got to buckle down and play better defense. And you go out there and you try to play better defense. You're like, wow, that's all we can do. You know, we've been focusing on this. We brought in new guys to help us defensively. And all we can play to is maybe league average or a little bit worse than that. And now our three-point shots aren't falling and our offensive rating isn't there. I think it's become so much disappointment from the outside, but that disappointment has crystallized on the inside as well. And now those guys are trying to get back to that point where they were playing last year, where everything was free and easy and fun. And now it's just frustrating and disappointing. And they're probably looking at, man, he's going to be a free agent. He's going to be a free agent. They're not keeping us together. You know, I think the team tried to present that image to all the players. Hey, if you play great, we're going to keep this together and grow together. And now they're like, man, we're not playing good enough to stay together. And at that point, now you have guys thinking about their own careers instead of all coming together as a young team with an upward trajectory. There's not enough talent to keep it together. So,
no, that's the biggest thing. They do need to overhaul several positions there.
All right, let's go, Nation. It's time for Mike Fisher to jump in here. He's at Fish Sports on Twitter. Has everything you need about the Cowboys the day before the draft. That's coming up next in the Nation. Welcome back, Nation. It's time for Mike Fisher to join us. He's at Fish Sports on Twitter. Segment is brought to you by My Computer Career. And it's brought to you by Rubin and Associates. If you're drowning in debt, call our guy Mark Rubin, 1-800-LAWYERS. Mark will talk to you personally. Take control of your debt. Eliminate your stress. And allow you to live life again starts with a simple confidential phone call to Mark Rubin at 1-800-LAWYERS. Rubin & Associates, 1-800-LAWYERS. And here's Mike Fisher. Buddy, how are you?
Outstanding. Got me, General?
We got you loud and clear. Yeah, excited about this draft. What do you know?
Yeah, and, you know, we talk about, well, our draft coverage will start tomorrow at a certain time. But really, if you're listening to the fan, you realize our draft coverage is started today, and it kind of started in January. And what G-Bag Nation is doing today is outstanding. I want to play Star Slug Sleeper with you, Brian.
Okay.
You called it, what'd you call it? Star
Bus?
Else,
Star sleeper. Bus Sleeper is what I called it.
Okay. Maybe that one of them's obvious, one of them's controversial, and one of them, Brian Broaddus would probably like. The star is Kyle Pitts. And I don't even know if there's a second place. Especially if he goes to Atlanta and plays with that complement of receivers and plays with that quarterback, I think he's destined to do just amazing things. And in all your guys' research, Jeffrey, Brian, have you found one negative? Have you found even one red mark on his resume? Even one?
I have not.
He's a bad guy or,
nope.
You know, eats too many candy bars,
nope.
Or he's mean to his parents.
Nope.
You just can't find. So there's my star.
Okay.
My slug, I'm afraid to say, and I know the Cowboys aren't saying thumbs down on Caleb Farley, but some teams are. And that concerns me. I'm afraid that Caleb Farley is going to come into the league and be just fine for a while and then all of a sudden not be fine at all. And And I don't know, Brian, you would know best of anybody. Are there teams that don't have him on the board at all? Maybe not.
I talked to Green Bay at 29 last night. They're interested in him. Okay.
And, of course, 29 would be a deep drop from where he once could have been, which was 10.
Yeah, the back. But, the back was a big concern there.
Farley. So I'm afraid that he may end up being sluggy.
Okay.
And my sleeper is somebody that, Brian, you probably watched plenty of. LSU wide receiver Racy McMath.
I've seen him play.
Pardon?
I've seen him play, yeah. Good player.
I figured you had. And I've had a couple conversations, and his name just kind of pops up. And what are we talking about, Jeffrey? Sixth round or something?
I suppose, yeah, late.
Yeah, he's a late guy, Mike. When you start putting your boards together and stuff like that.
At 195 yards.
Yeah. You're betting right there on the fact that they had so much talent at LSU at receiver that he didn't get a whole heck of a lot of opportunity. But when he did, he was a good little player for them.
And that's pretty sleepy. So there's my star slug sleeper.
Well done, Fish. Well done.
Mike, can I ask you about McMath? Is it something you're hearing at the Star about him? Okay.
Yeah, not Cowboys.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Okay, the Teddy Bridgewater trade. And I know this is on your guys' list of things to do. I think this is very impactful for the Cowboys. I think this is a Cowboys story. So let's try to kind of walk through the cogs in the machine here. Bridgewater goes from Carolina to Denver. Brian Broaddus has reported that Carolina at 8 is in love with J.C. Horn.
They do.
Okay. I would argue, too, and I did talk to somebody today who kind of hints, man, you know, Carolina, how many chances are they going to get at a franchise quarterback? And Jeffrey's guy, Justin Fields, might, for some reason, not everybody seems to love him when it comes time to do a mock draft, even teams, I think. If he's there at 8, are you really going to take a cornerback instead of a quarterback?
They should probably take Fields. You're absolutely right. But I know that, like I say, but I talked to a guy on the way after I talked to you, matter of fact, Mike, in Carolina, that said that they still love Horn.
So that's a fun debate for them. And Horn versus, let's say, Fields. And the Cowboys need them to take the quarterback for their plan to go through. Now we go to number 9. Well, Denver, who just happened to do the Bridgewater trade as well, Denver's now got another quarterback. Brian, I think you're right about the Drew Lock thing.
Yeah.
And I think one of the reasons you're right is, what's your old saying about when a new staff comes in or a new scouting department, that the old player doesn't have a
sponsor
in the building? Drew Lock doesn't have a sponsor in the building. And so in goes Teddy. He's their quarterback, but they're in a very similar spot, it seems to me, as Carolina is. When are they going to get another shot to say, oh, Justin Fields is still there at 9, or whoever is still there at 9? Let's take another quarterback, versus the idea, Brian, that they take Patrick Surtain, which is viable as well in Denver, right?
No, absolutely. Yeah, and I think that you have to be worried if you're the Cowboys. And a third team you need to be worried about for cornerbacks is Philadelphia, coming up into taking Detroit at 7.
And so the trickle down, General, for the Cowboys is, no, they're not going to have their board wiped out, but they might have their board of cornerbacks wiped out. And the worst case scenario, I suppose, is you'd be left with Rashawn Slater. There's nothing wrong with Rashawn Slater at 10. We all
agree
with that, right?
That would be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Jeffrey, on your Kavanaugh big board, you have him at 2nd.
Who is this? Slater?
Rashawn.
Yeah, because I'm a cheater. I don't put quarterbacks on there. If you need a quarterback, they're 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. But outside of quarterback, he's my 2nd best player.
So, I mean, that would be a steal for you. And it's not the ideal plan for the Cowboys. They made that clear yesterday in the press conference. And Jerry said, we think we can get one of the top defensive players. But that would work. Micah Parsons would be in the collection of options, I guess. And I'm not – I mean, I think he's got a chance to be a terrific player. My issue with it, of course, is how tied it is to Leighton Vander Esch. And that's clearly true. Steven could have come out and announced already, we're either doing this or that with the option for Leighton Vander Esch. There's a reason they're waiting. And Micah Parsons would be among the reasons. And then the option 3 and 4 is, well, if the draft goes that way, there's one or two premium wide receivers still sitting there.
Yeah,
and maybe a quarterback, at which point you start shopping. I would think, Brian, right? You start shopping down from the wide receiver. You start shopping down from for the quarterback.
I would take Slater if it was me, myself.
Of those three.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mess around. Don't. There's no reason to get cute. You've got multiple picks, like, you know, at, you know, in this draft, but use those to move around. Don't get cute with that first one. You know, go take, if you want to go take that offensive tackle who you can play at guard and be outstanding. This team has proven when they draft an offensive lineman the first round and plug and play him, they get a lot better benefit out of that. Don't get cute when this is happening.
So deep dives into DBs. And we wrote about this, tweeted about this. You can find this at Fish Sports on Twitter. In addition to our increasing belief that Surtain's going to end up at 10. I believe that. Brian, do you still believe that?
I mocked him to the Cowboys today. But I think there's a possibility. I do think there's a possibility of Horn. I think there's still some discussion about that, believe it or not. We've talked about coaches and scouts being split. There's some coaches that really like Surtain, and there's some scouts that really like Horn. So that's the discussion they're having right now.
Okay. And then, in addition to the deep dive that you're doing on those two cornerbacks, we know about that. I'm told they've done all kinds of research and conversations with Holland, the safety from Oregon.
Yeah.
And we talked to him. And so that was enough for me last night to say, you know what? I'm going to stick at 54. With all due respect to the idea of moving up for TCU safety Trevor Merrig, I think I'm going to stick at 44 and have Holland come to me, and he might end up being as good as anybody as a safety. Agreed, boys?
Could be. He's not my favorite, but he could be.
Yeah, he's my second best safety, so I would say that's a possibility.
Okay, a guy, Brian, who's got size to play safety, but he's got some cornerback athleticism,
yeah,
right?
He's played cornerback in his day, and then he's played some safety as well. So he's just, yeah, he's got length, and he's everything you really kind of want in a guy that can cover, and he tackles well.
And then the Washington defensive back, Molden, who I discovered later today. Jeffrey, you've been all over him on the research issue, right?
Mm-hmm.
On the Cowboys issue. So Cowboys research. So deep dives into Molden, deep dives into Holland. Now, is Molden, Jeffrey, for you, a second-round guy?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I like Molden better than I like Holland. Yeah.
Okay. If they draft Molden, this could be Dan Quinn's Kazee. He can move him from corner to safety. This could be your free safety here.
He's 5'10".
That's true.
So is Kazee. That doesn't seem to have bothered Dan Quinn.
Not at all.
So is Washington from TCU, which obviously doesn't bother Jeff Kavanaugh.
Tiny man, my tiny guy.
And finally, so the cornerback Gilmore trade idea with New England. And man, I've been shooting it down for months. And the reason I've been shooting it down is wrongheaded. I kept looking at the dollar figure because we know he wants an extension. And that's probably $20 million a year. But I kept looking at his $17 million price tag. But if he got traded somewhere, let's say to Dallas, it's actually that number or a little more than that split in half. So it becomes like an $8 million Cowboy salary. Now, Brian, do you agree?
For one year, right?
For 1 year, and then next year he comes griping to you about where's my extension?
That's exactly right.
Well, he might come griping about the extension as part of the trade.
I think that you would have to talk to him before the trade to make sure that he would be okay with that, because he is going to want an extension as soon as he gets traded.
He could theoretically not show up. I don't know that guys do that much anymore. You could franchise him, I suppose, next year. But because it's not $17 million, it's more like $8 million.
Yes.
I'm a little more intrigued than I was before. Now, he was almost – wasn't he Defensive Player of the Year 2 years ago?
Yeah, he was.
I think he was.
Yeah.
So maybe it's an unfair criticism to say he's on the downside. I mean, if you know, you're Defensive Player of the Year in the NFL and it's 2 years later and now you're 30 or whatever, yeah, naturally you're on your downside. But he would roll in here and be the Cowboys' best cornerback. And the price tag wouldn't be $17 million. It'd be $8 million. And if that draft thing, taking this full circle, General, the draft thing unfolds the way we're talking about, and you're sitting there at 10 and you don't you don't get your cornerbacks. Now you go ahead and listen to Bill Belichick when he calls about pick number 15 and you ask him about that cornerback.
That'd be very exciting. A lot of awesome things that can transpire here. You know, I love what Jerry said, where you have an opportunity as well to do something unconventional. Out of all the drafts I've covered, this is, you know, one of the most exciting because you're sitting there at 10, but all the different ways this could come, it's totally unpredictable.
Well, and again, we're all over this thing tomorrow night, but all day with Broadus and Kavanaugh and Sean Sharif, our entire staff, and the Cowboys and 105 Through the Fan have set me up with a studio inside the store.
Oh, yeah.
That opportunity as well. And we're very flattered and honored and excited to be a part of it tomorrow.
There he goes, Mike Fisher at Fish Sports on Twitter. Must follow. We'll catch up with you tomorrow, buddy. Take care. Have a good afternoon. Mike Fisher here in the G-Bag Nation, and our path to the draft coverage is brought to you by Pluckers. Head out to one of the 7 DFW locations for the draft day party tomorrow night. It's a really cool thing that we've done over the years where you come out to Pluckers, and we have a mock draft situation going on. And every time a team is on the board, somebody at Pluckers is going to come up to our table and make the pick, right?
And we are going to send the pick to whoever is at your Pluckers, and they're going to hook you up, and then you're going to get it right, and you're going to get a sweet deal on some Holy Mac or something.
See, yes, we've been known to help the audience a little bit because, yeah, you get deep discounts on drinks and Holy Mac and wings and everything. It's going to be an enchanted evening and a great experience for you tomorrow. Please join us at one of the Pluckers locations, 7 across DFW.
You know what happens when you order food when you're hungry? Like, I've been sitting here thinking about ordering some food up here to the station for us because I'm hungry. But then I'm like, man, if I can just hold on until we're off work, but I'm hungry. So I'm going to order like 50 Cajun wings and 2 orders of Holy Mac. I'm going to slap down about 11 wings and 1 order of Holy Mac and just be laying on the floor in the fetal position.
Oh.
But I'll have some leftover food, you know?
And it'll come in handy tomorrow night when you're done with the draft late at night.
But tomorrow is really the food question. Like, who's feeding us, Brian? Because we're going to be here from the start of the show until like 11-something. Is somebody bringing snacks? Yeah, you get snacks?
I got to figure that out. We got to do something, don't we?
I got to get some fruit snacks?
Yeah.
Like some packs of it? I don't know.
I'd get Broadus set up with a big old pot to boil in there over there in the break room. Get yourself some crawfish going. Have a party out there.
A big party out back, yeah.
I'm going to roll the big green egg on the elevator and see what happens.
We do the strap. We do strap outside, yeah.
Okay, baseball stuff. What Woody told us about this Ranger being an all-star. We'll discuss that next in the Nation. All right, it's time now for a little bit of baseball stuff right here on your home of the Rangers. Woody was on with KNC earlier. It was a fantastic interview. Hope you enjoyed it. If you missed it, we have highlights. Chris asked right off the jump here, doesn't it look like Solak is an all-star at this point? Here we go.
As of right now, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, he actually got up to a little bit of a slow start, which is pretty amazing. I think he's tied for the lead in home runs in the American League. What he's done lately has just been phenomenal. And it's not just the homers. It's just the at-bat quality. Every pitch, he's hitting rockets all over the field. You know, he's actually lined out a few times in that as well. So it's been fun to watch. And the biggest thing is, obviously staying consistent with it. But right now, he's in a really good place.
Yeah, he's doing big things, isn't he? And it's great to watch him. You know, I think I was a little tough on some of these guys. I'm rooting for him. I wonder if Solak would fit in with the other all-stars when you get there. But I think relative to the other players, nice little ball player. Somebody's got to make it.
At the moment, he would fit in really well with them because they would be like, oh, hey, you're batting over 300 and your OPS is over 950 and you're leading the league in home runs. Yeah, I think you belong. And it all goes back to, for this Rangers season, I am going to focus on what matters. What matters is if Nick Solak, and he's not going to keep this up. He's not going to be a 950 OPS guy. But if Nick Solak can continue to show that, yes, the pop in the bat, like that's a real thing. That was one of the concerns about Nick Solak. He was a put the ball in play guy.
He doesn't look strong enough for it. Yeah.
Like he's I don't strike out. Yeah. I could bat for a decent average, but do you have power? For the moment, the answer is, oh, yeah. And like their pull home runs and because like, he's a spray it to the opposite field, and now he's turning on pitches, and to have 7 home runs, yeah. Nick Solak is on track for this season. For the moment, you go Adolis Garcia, Nick Solak, yes, Jose Trevino, yes. What we're trying to do is develop some of these guys so that you can say, okay, you're going to be a part of what we're doing here. And Solak is the most impressive one, which is awesome because he was the guy last year that I really liked that I wanted to see this part of his game, and he's giving it to you.
What do you think of what Willie's putting together?
I mean, he still hadn't had a ton of at-bats, but what's happened with Willie, and this is really interesting, Willie has become your leadoff hitter half the time, give or take, right? So Willie is left-handed. If the other team starter is a righty, Willie leads off. Willie in the leadoff spot so far has gotten on base 7 out of the 14 times.
Wow.
So, you know, they're trying to experiment and figure out because you don't really have a leadoff hitter, so they're kind of going Willie against righties, Kiner Falefa against lefties. And when they do that, the days that Willie is leading off have been really, really good so far. So good returns on Willie so far.
Yeah. Okay, cut two here. How satisfied or proud are you of what Gallo is doing, staying patient at the plate? Here we go.
I'm extremely proud. I mean, honestly, it's really difficult for hitters, especially at him, you know, knowing that you know, he values obviously his power and he's got a ton of it. So, you know, to not kind of panic and start to chase and try to make things happen instead of just letting him come to him. It honestly makes our entire team better. And the thing that, you know, he's starting to understand and he really is holding, you know, dear to is, you know, for us to be a champion, we have to trust everybody in that lineup. And the more people we get on base, the more pressure we put on that opposing pitcher. That's what the great teams do. And it's not always one guy that does it every night. And I think Joey, you know, has really embraced that and realizes his role on the team. Like, you know, if they're not pitching to him, then, you know, Adolis and Nate Lowe behind him. And, you know, obviously Soli, I moved up in the lineup today. But, you know, the guys behind him are going to have to pick him up and drive in runs. And that's when we've scored multiple runs. He's usually right in the middle of it. And it's either, you know, via walk or, you know, last, I know in Chicago was a base hit. But the power will come. Obviously, you see last night how much power he has, 114 miles an hour off the bat. When he starts hitting them like that consistently, they're going to go out of the ballpark. But I'm really proud of him right now.
Yeah, really cool. You know, and hitting 236, I hope this can be sort of a catalyst for the rest of his career. And maybe if they can get some guys in the lineup that actually give him some protection, he'd get more pitches to hit. And if through this process he can learn patience and then get pitches, maybe he could take that big jump in the career we've been waiting for.
Well, and I think it's more about, will the other teams ever believe that what's happening is real? Because when Adolis Garcia bats behind him, he's smashing. When Nate Lowe is behind him, he's raking. And so will teams actually get to the point where they go, okay, Garcia is a good hitter and Lowe is a good hitter, so we do need to challenge Gallimore? And I don't know.
Like, I don't think you're scared enough.
Like, I was proud of Joey at first until we got 22 games into the year and he had one home run.
Yeah.
And then I was like, okay, Joey, having a good on base percentage is really cool, but they also keep track of OPS, and this is going to be a bad OPS year for you. So we're going to have to just start hacking again at some point.
Yeah, it's bad.
I was starting to think maybe he was the little sickly child in town that everybody gets real careful around, and they're like, he's not real strong, he's very fragile. And then last night, he just destroyed a ball. And I was like, okay, now we're proud of Joey again. That's what we need.
Yeah, I don't know how you do it because you have such historically bad judgment on what to swing at and such a big hole in your swing that pitchers throw you trash intentionally. So if you get your patience going, you're going to get more stuff to hit. But if you're not making them pay for it, even if you're getting all those walks, I don't know. You know, I'm a huge fan of the guy. He's joined us on the show. He's been great to us. But I think the best thing that can happen here for the remainder of Joey Gallo's time with the Rangers is another team that can protect him could think, boy, if we get him in our lineup, we could unlock all this stuff. And you need that team to be desperate and hungry.
And have protection around him.
Yeah.
Like that team could do real damage.
Yeah, the scouting report has to be better on him now, though. It's not, it used to be like, you know, he'll swing at anything, strikes out a lot. Really good defense, though.
Yeah, you know, nobody's going to go erase the power part of their scouting report. Like, well, he doesn't have a lot of extra base hits this year. That Gallo doesn't have a lot of pop.
But I think that's the thing that the more the plate discipline, that part of it, like, teams could be excited about that. Like, he's no longer swinging at wild pitch. I'll ask I got a gang of three in baseball. I'll ask him what the scouting report is about Joey Gallo now. And get back. And they'll say, it might be that, like, how different has the scouting report been on him from this year to say, or last year to this year.
He's having a really weird year where even with the home run last night, he has 17 total hits on the season. Yeah. Two of them are home runs. The other 15, all singles.
Yeah.
Joey Gallo, 23 games into the year, having no doubles. I would have gave you pretty good odds on that. So he's having a weird year, but it was nice to have the Bomski last night.
Okay, cut three then. More on Joey Gallo here from Woody, who joined the KNC Masterpiece. Is the approach a responsibility for Gallo as now a leader in the clubhouse?
Yeah. No, I've talked to him about that since I got here. Just talked about how much power, I mean, you know, no pun intended, but how much power he has, you know, in that lineup when he's controlling the strike zone and when he's kind of establishing it. And bringing Nate Lowe on board really helps as well because he has the same approach. These guys don't chase. They stay in the strike zone. And you see the best hitters in the game, that's what they do. And they're going to get pitched. Eventually, they're going to get the strikes to hit. You know, he's had a few recently that, you know, he fouled off or swung and missed. But yesterday, obviously, to get the result, the power will come. The homers will come. But if he stays patient, we're going to, you know, we can make our offense actually, you know, a really good offense and almost an elite offense if everybody kind of buys into that, which we preach every day.
They do have some players, you know, performing at the plate. Who knows? Maybe this can, you know, come around nicely for us. I'm impressed with Gallo's ability to be a leader. You know, he was so emotional. Banny really had to work with him. Woody had to work with him a lot to prevent him from taking his failure at the plate into the clubhouse, into the dugout, the next day at the yard showing up. And he really got a handle on that just a couple of years ago. And now to be in a position where you can be that team leader that goes up and executes your plan and your approach at the plate and doesn't bring that negativity back into the dugout in the clubhouse, I think that's, you know, a really great story for Joey Gallo.
Or into the field. I mean, the guy's a freaking gold glover.
Yeah.
I did not see the Joey Gallo gold glover thing coming.
You know, all the way around. It's one thing when you have a player like Rugi who you can tell isn't really grasping the failures and the gravity of what he's, you know, failing to do every time he takes, and he's up there all cocky and stuff. When you have guys that truly, truly care, right, you can sort of excuse more of their failures at the plate when you know they are conscious of it, they're aware, and they take the responsibility to perform for the team. Then you know the only thing that's holding him back is talent, right? You can't get mad at a guy's inability to execute if you know, you know, his priorities and his approach are all in the right place.
Yeah, and it seems like a lot of the guys on the team are in the right place with that. And yeah, that's, you know, this season is going to go the way that most fans thought that it would go because your collection of talent is what it is. And the Rangers knew what they were doing when they were coming into this year. So you just see which of these guys is going to, you know, step up and say, look, I'm a part of this thing. And yeah, so far it looks like Nick Solak. It looks like Adolis Garcia. Gallo, who knows? I don't know if he's going to be long-term, if he's going to get a big old contract, or if he's going to get traded, but we're getting what this year was going to be about. You're starting pitchers. Can you play well? And does that mean you're gone? And lineup guys. Who's going to be a guy? And yeah, we're finding them.
Part of this thing, play well enough, we'll trade you. Or play well enough and you're young and we're going to lock you up to a long-term deal.
Your contract status and your age determine what playing well means for you.
MLB in general off to a cold offensive start, though. Hitters typically a little off in April. The 2021 season off to one of the worst offensive starts ever. April coming to a close, the league-wide batting average, lowest it's ever been. Home runs down as well, strikeouts way up. Probably less time last year is starting to really have an impact. You think about all the downtime and only 2 months played last summer. Some blame the cold weather. Others blame the new baseballs being used as well. They took a little bit of a juice out of it.
Bring the juice balls back.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about. They never changed the ball. They never juiced it up, Gavin. What are you talking about?
Hey, I don't know. MLB will not confirm or deny anything. It's a super mystery, but I'm with you. Let's juice the hell out of these things. Let's put Tom Brady in charge. What I'm saying?
Let's go.
He'll have those flying out of the yard. We need scores like 15 to 12.
Let's play with a heavy racket ball.
There you go.
Really bouncing out of here.
Those were fun to play home run derby with as a kid. Give me an aluminum bat and a tennis ball.
Oh my God, a tennis ball?
Yeah.
Yeah, go get it from the neighbor's house. Third time today, man. I'm killing it.
It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105 through the Fan. And most afternoons at 3:40 here on your home of the Rangers, we do give you some baseball stuff. Now, coming up next, things I believe I know about this NFL draft. I'm going to run them past our esteemed panel, Broaddus and Kavanaugh.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.